All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Welcome in to Daily Faceoff Live, your go-to source for everything hockey, live every weekday at noon Eastern.
Welcome in to a March 28th edition of Daily Faceoff Live. Happy opening day, which reminds me, our show, it's brought to you by Betano. The game starts now at Betano.ca. All your MLB futures odds, all you need for MLB opening day is available at Betano.ca. Frank's got the Philly sweater on. He's in the spirit of things.
Yeah, rained out today. We'll try again tomorrow, though.
Oh, I thought it just got moved. Did they say it's fully rained out?
Yeah, it's moved to Friday.
Ah, that's too bad. That's a damper on the opening day festivities. But either way, if you're a baseball fan, enjoy the day. If you're a hockey fan, hopefully you enjoy 30 minutes of hockey talk coming your way. We're going to be joined by Jeff Patterson from Rinkwide Vancouver and Canucks Army in the middle part of the show. We're going to sink our teeth into a Canucks squad that is on the verge of clinching the playoffs. But let's start out in the Eastern Conference, Frank, where the hottest team out East, it is the Tampa Bay Lightning, 8-1-1 in their last 10. They've now firmly grabbed on to the top wild card spot. And I think the Toronto Maple Leafs might be hearing some footsteps coming behind them in terms of the third spot in the Atlantic as well. You always get that vibe with this Bolts team as they go through the regular season, no matter how hard they struggle, how many injuries they go through. It's like, they might be able to just flip the switch when they want it. It feels like they're doing that.
Professional switch flippers. Is that a thing? It's almost like, I guess like that buddy who you see that, you know, has a ton of talent that just kind of coasts through life. And then all of a sudden when it matters, you know, finds a way to be at his very best and embarrass everyone else, whether it's golf or hockey or whatever sport it might be. And I kind of, you know, there's a lot of things to point to with the Lightning. First off, the Anthony Duclair addition since the trade deadline has been big. I like that Julien Brisebois went out and didn't spend a lot, but found a couple ways to boost his team. Two, they are the hottest team in the league, except for the Nashville Predators. And the big reason for that is they've been way cleaner with the puck. They've been efficient. They've made simple plays. They've found a rhythm. And you go back to what you were saying about the pillars of this team, Vasilevsky, Kucherov, potential Hart season. Point is an outside shot at 50 goals this year. Stamkos, Hedman having a resurgent year. And then, maybe kind of in the twinkle of your eye, if you squint hard enough and see a path forward for the Lightning in the playoffs, there's maybe Mikhail Sergachev in the background. There's a lot of reasons to, I think, be afraid of the Lightning when it comes to round one. And they just find a way to put it in gear at the right time that they're going to be a tough out regardless. And as inconsistent as the Leafs have been, it sort of feels to me like Sheldon Keefe is grasping at straws right now if you listen to him talk.
Back-to-back wins for the Bolts, back-to-back losses for the Toronto Maple Leafs. So the Leafs sit 2 points above Tampa Bay. Leafs have a game in hand, but these two teams will still play each other two more times this year, once next Wednesday, and then they end the regular season with a head-to-head matchup as well. So we talked about the seeding races to kick off this week, Frank. That is one we didn't really think of, but as the week's gone on, it's gotten incredibly tight. And I also think if you're whichever of Florida or Boston, whoever ends up in that two seed, you're probably crossing your fingers that Toronto can win enough games to hold on to that spot.
I think it's kind of a crapshoot. Like, be careful what you wish for. I mean, there's still the Leafs can be dangerous in their own right. I would think that I'd want to try and avoid Tampa, as you're saying, but whether you look at it and they're the third team in the Atlantic or the first wild card team, I mean, you're kind of splitting hairs, I think, at some point.
Yeah, and that's probably a fair point as well. All those teams and that kind of gap in them. Anyone can beat anyone in the Stanley Cup playoffs, as we saw last year, especially Frank opening day. So why not play a little fair or foul? Why not? Baseball season, right? But there'll be hockey-themed questions, don't worry. Let's kick it off with Eastern Conference again, the New Jersey Devils. And I kind of threw this your way today on the DFO Rundown with yourself and Jason Greger. I said the New Jersey Devils regret what they did around deadline period. Is that fair or foul?
I think that's foul, but I think to me, the real regret of the Devils season is the fact that they didn't act sooner. They didn't act sooner in making a coaching change. They didn't act sooner in fixing their goaltending problem. Not to say that it's fixed yet, but certainly at least took a step forward to trying to do that. Trading for Jake Allen, to me, I think kind of sets them up for the future. The 50% retained is a big part of it. Not a huge price at a third round pick. And Jake Allen, if you don't think he's your number one guy next year, he's a solid 1B and or could be the backup to a much larger transaction. So it doesn't preclude them from doing anything. I get the idea of the Vanacek deal in terms of trying to do that. So I don't think there's much regret in the actual transactions at all. Take a whirl on Kaapo Kähkönen and see what happens. And he's been pretty good in the three games that he's played at a .934 save percentage. So it's not the regret in the transactions. It's the regret in the timing. What if you had done this 15 games earlier and given your team more runway? Why couldn't the Devils have been what the Caps are, a team that just found a stride for a 10-game period of time that is going to inject them into the playoffs?
Yeah, only six back of the Philadelphia Flyers. Six back with 9 games to go. That's tough. But again, if you could, like you said, close that gap a little bit sooner, it might have been interesting. I brought up the point of, you know, if why even go get Allen if you were, you know, had such an outside shot? Why not wait till the summer to get Markstrom? You made the good point of at $1.9 million, still could go get a guy like Markstrom if you wanted to this summer.
Why not? I'd be surprised if they don't try and solidify their goaltending really kind of for the first time in the Tom Fitzgerald era. I think they need to.
We're going through our postmortems of some of the bottom feeders, Frank, but my second fair foul for you is about those bottom five teams in the league who were, again, slowly making our way through their way too early offseason previews. You got the Sharks, Blackhawks, Ducks, Coyotes, and Blue Jackets in the mix there. I'm going to say the team that gets the most aggressive this summer with trying to come out of their rebuild is the Ducks. Is that fair or foul?
I'm going to go foul. I think the Ducks are methodically building. I think they've got a bit of a ways to go to get there. I think the most aggressive team in trying to build is going to be the Blackhawks. And you can absolutely guarantee, you know, double stamp it if the Blackhawks win the lottery again, because they won't be able to win in a 5-year period of time if they were to somehow land the rights to select Macklin Celebrini. But beyond that, year two of the Connor Bedard experiment, you saw the, and it's not an experiment, I should say experience, then you see the guys that they brought back to surround him. They need more. They've got tons of money to spend this summer just to get to the floor. And you start to see some of the other pieces come into place, whether it's Korchinski or eventually Frank Nazar or whoever it might be in their system that you're looking towards. I'd expect the Blackhawks to try and, you know, sort of cut that ground between themselves and the playoffs in half next season. And then I think in 2026, shooting to be a playoff team again.
Just quickly, of those bottom five, all in the mix for Macklin Celebrini, and you can check the odds updated daily over at dailyfaceoff.com. We have our draft lottery tracker. Outside of the Hawks, is there another one of those teams that if they were to win the lottery and get Celebrini, maybe it changes their mindset this summer, or do you think all of them would get him and say, hey, stick with it, keep building?
I mean, Columbus already tried to take that step forward this past year, again, going after Severson and Provorov. You've got more defensemen on the way. Matejchuk, Juracek should be a full-time NHL defenseman next year. You've already got some of the pieces up front. I'd think that they'd continue to try and bridge that gap, but they've got, fairly or unfairly, some dead weight on their cap already that they're going to need to sift through.
And last one for you, Frank. Our friends at Betano have the over-under for Philly's wins this year at 89.5. You taking the over on that?
I'm not. They're not a consistent regular season team. Have some health questions with Bryce Harper's back. I'm going to say 87 wins.
Ooh, but it'll be close. Baseball season gets going today. Let's continue along with our awards watch, Frank. And today we are on the Selke Trophy. It isn't always the sexiest award, but, and hey, how about this? We won't have, well, or we will have a new winner this year. Patrice Bergeron coming off back-to-back wins, obviously retired. He actually won this thing 6 of the last 12 years, which is insane. But who are some of the front runners in your opinion?
By the way, I'd be all for renaming the Selke the Patrice Bergeron Award. I know that it was invented or dreamed up for Bob Gainey to honor players that had played with that level of expertise in the defensive zone, but look, all class on and off the ice. And when you win an award that many times, you should at least have the ability to rename it. I'm going to give a healthy amount of props to Sidney Crosby. I mean, look, he's never won the Selke. He's finished 4th is his best finish, I think, in a Selke trophy voting. When you look at his season and how excellent it's been, not just, you know, among the best 36-year-old seasons that we've ever seen, but go and watch the first period against the Colorado Avalanche on Sunday and tell me why someone like Sidney Crosby shouldn't win the Selke. His attention to detail, his back pressure, his intelligence, his smarts, winning faceoffs, like there's so many facets to it. And at the same time, he's asked to do so much and carry this team offensively. I know that's not technically part of the award, but I just feel like the overall state of his game, it's been well documented, but hasn't necessarily gotten the defensive zone love that I think he probably deserves for all the really intelligent plays that he makes. So I'll throw Sidney Crosby out there as a candidate. We've got the usual sort of suspects, Barkov. You know, I've had Jordan Staal from the Carolina Hurricanes on my ballot the last few years. And seems like you're going to inject Adam Lowry into the conversation.
Yeah, that was actually, I knew you wanted to talk about Sidney Crosby, but I wanted to give some love to a couple of guys who, you know, obviously don't do a whole lot on the offensive side of the game, but again, defensive award here. And I think what these two have done as like those true defensive second and third line centermen, I think it's been really impressive. Their defensive metrics are outstanding. When you look at how often these two have to go up against the other team's best players and are starting their shifts in the D zone and still manage to put up good defensive numbers, I think these two deserve a lot of love in that conversation.
Yeah, and I'll throw one more stat at you for since I did mention Barkov, who will be one of the favorites. 44% of his time on ice this year is against an opposing team's top line. 44%. That's healthy. So obviously a sublime player in so many different aspects would be deserved. I'd just like to see Crosby get some more love for the Selke, because usually he's up for so many different awards that it almost feels like he kind of falls through the cracks.
Yeah, and that's fair. That is one of the awards missing from his trophy case. Before we get to Jeff Patterson, let's do our postmortem on the San Jose Sharks. Frank, when you look through this year, it's really hard to find any sort of victories for Sharks fans. The only one I can come up with is that, well, the season's almost over and you're one more year through the rebuild. Frank, is that fair or foul, or were there maybe some little wins for Sharks fans?
Not many. I would say that the only win for Sharks fans this year is that for the first time after the Hurdle trade, it feels like we finally at least have some kind of cohesive plan, that they've begun to pare down some of these really tough contracts that are on their books. That's probably going to be it for a while because they don't have any retained salary transaction slots left. And I think that also includes next year as well, if I'm not mistaken. I'd like to see them begin to stockpile more picks and prospects. They should have some pretty good picks. That New Jersey pick should be probably pretty decent in the second round. We'll see what happens with that top 10 protected Penguins pick this year. That has worked out probably way better than they would have even expected from the Carlson trade. But when you look at, retained salary transaction slots all locked up for next year as well, you're talking about 2025, like sometime in late summer 2025 is the first time that the Sharks will be able to really kind of engage, what happens with Couture and some of these other guys on this team that just, I know he needs to be healthy, but they need to begin tearing it down. And I think there's lots of debate about that Hurdle deal. There's certainly some strong opinions from other front offices around the league that felt like Mike Greer could have gotten a lot more for Hurdle this summer and wouldn't have had to retain had he been able to engage some other teams. And I think the surprising nature of it really makes you wonder, at a time when Hurdle was hurt, did you kind of hold him up for auction, so to speak? And I know Hurdle had some control in the process, but certainly some fair questions to ask about how the Sharks have gone about their business. But I'd say for me, the one win is that you're now beginning, after averaging a 28th place finish for the last 5 years, it's been insanely slow to get to this point. The tough part is the rebuild is kind of really just beginning in San Jose, and it's not really gotten on its way, and that's really what's tough.
Yeah. I will go ahead and make a prediction. The Sharks are the most boring team to follow in the offseason this year. You mentioned no retained money spots. I'm just not sure how much they could even do in terms of offloading.
Let's take it a step further. I would say if you realistically are looking at when can the San Jose Sharks be a playoff team again, I don't know how you could chart a course to anything sooner than 2030.
Please.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
That's a tough thing to hear if you're a fan of the San Jose Sharks. That's a long time. All right, we got to keep moving along. Let's get to today's edition of the All 32 and Jeff Patterson. The All 32 is delivered by DoorDash, 25% off, zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more. All you need to do is download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code NATION25. Dash that for the win with DoorDash. Jeff Patterson from Rinkwide Vancouver and Canucks Army joins us on the show. The man they call J-Pat here to break down the Vancouver Canucks. And before we get into things, just quickly on Thatcher Demko. Saw the news he's been moved to LTIR. I know it's just kind of a cap thing, but what's the latest on Demko and when are they expecting to get him ramped back up?
Yeah, he's been under a cone of silence out here in Vancouver, essentially, since he went down in that game against the Winnipeg Jets at the start of this nine-game homestand. Saw him briefly at the bench in sweats during a practice last week. That's my only visual of him. So I don't think he's been on skates. He's a couple of weeks into his recovery, believed to be a knee injury, but the team's not saying much. Yeah, putting him on LTIR yesterday was paperwork just to allow them to gain some cap space to bring up players from their minor league team in Abbotsford. But the hope is, and Rick Tocchet tried to remain confident yesterday. He was asked about it after practice, and he seemed to think that there would be enough runway there. There's 10 games to go for the Vancouver Canucks. By putting him on LTIR, he's not eligible to come back and play before April 6th or in Los Angeles on the 6th. They'll have five games remaining after that. And so the hope is that he'll be ready to go sometime around there to get two or three starts at the very least to ramp things up ahead of the playoffs.
As teams are starting to clinch here in the regular season, we're going through and giving out their biggest strengths and weaknesses. And I thought it was interesting when you were on with Sakaris and Price the other day, the kind of headline question was, are the Canucks an offensive juggernaut or a defensive juggernaut? Where do you come out on that?
Well, it's funny for a team that scored 10 in San Jose in November, opened the season with that 8-1 romp over the Oilers, scored six against the Oilers in another game, also hung seven on San Jose later in the season as well. First half of the season prior to Christmas, they looked unstoppable offensively. They had a power play that was running at 30-some-odd percent in the first 10 or 15 games. And yet, through all of that, it kind of felt like Rick Tocchet let his guys have their fun, sow their wild oats in the first half of the season. But I think through it all, he knew that they were going to have to clamp down defensively. And when they gave up 10 themselves in that crazy afternoon game in Minnesota and lost 10-7, a game that they had a 5-2 lead in mid-February, that one really seemed to at home with the Canucks, that if they were serious about, you know, holding off these other challengers for the Pacific Division, taking a run at the Western Conference, they were going to have to be better defensively. You don't need 6 and 8 and 10 very often come playoff time. And so it has been wild to sort of see this in-season transformation. They don't score nearly as much, even though they've got JT Miller with 91 points and Quinn Hughes with 81 points. But they have cracked down, and in this month of March, they haven't given up more than three goals in regulation in any of the games that they've played. Colorado beat them 4-3 on a power play in overtime a couple of weeks ago, but otherwise, it feels like defensive structure is the DNA of this hockey club, and so not to the point of the LA Kings who came in here and stifled them the other night, but the Canucks have been really good defensively. Their penalty kill has been incredible here in the month of March. Only Colorado has scored against them on the power play, and one of those was 5-on-3 and one was 4-on-3. So they haven't given up a conventional power play goal against in the entire month here. And that's without Thatcher Demko. I mean, that's with the backup, Casey DeSmith, in there and holding his own. So, I mean, I think the other thing that people don't recognize or realize is since the All-Star break, guys, the Canucks are 25th in the NHL in goals scored.
That's exactly what I was just going to ask you. I'm looking at those numbers and they're actually identical. 25th, 2.83 goals for per game, but also 2.83 goals against. So a net even. When you look at, you know, the defensive structure is great, but like, what is your level of concern for a team heading into the playoffs that has struggled to score the way they have in the last 2 months?
Yeah, well, all of a sudden, and it is kind of funny, Frank, that this is the topic here in Vancouver, is this team that has, you know, five guys of their own, and then they added Lindholm, and he went to the All-Star game, so you had six guys at the All-Star game, and that was recognition for what they had done earlier in the season, but now there's this idea of, well, maybe the downfall of this team is going to be its offense when push comes to shove against other good teams, and they've got Dallas in here tonight. Really looking forward to that matchup. One team has 99 points, the other has 98. So somebody's clinching a playoff spot with a win. They could both get to 100 points if this game goes to overtime. But look, the other night against the Kings, They were down 3-1 in the third period. They had one shot in the first 15 minutes of the third period, and that set some alarm bells off here. They did get one late with the goalie pulled and lost 3-2. But right now, this is a team that has, and we've said this for a while, that even before the addition of Elias Lindholm, that they were a winger short. Now, they went out, they made their move. Lindholm battling an undisclosed injury, believed to be a wrist, probably won't play again tonight, missed the game the other night against Los Angeles. And they had Phil DiGiuseppe with 5 goals playing alongside JT Miller and Brock Besser in the top six. And in fact, Miller's your leading scorer. So you could say that that's their top line. And you've got a guy with 5 goals this late in the season riding shotgun. Now, Phil DiGiuseppe's got a role and it's not necessarily to score, but you're playing a Dallas team tonight that has 720 goal scorers. Like, they're as deep and they spread their offense around as much as anybody in the National Hockey League. If Miller and Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes aren't getting it done, that's sort of where the questions come in about this Vancouver Hockey Club. And the other thing, too, is, and this tracks back to that All-Star break, the power play is 29th in the NHL, 15% in the last 23 games. So, you know, tight games in a playoff, late penalty. I know penalties are down in the postseason, but there are still moments where your power play has to dig in and come through. And right now, again, with that much skill, like the top-end talent, they can run out on the power play, and it just feels like they're throwing everything against the wall and haven't been able to find anything that has been able to stick for them when it comes to working with the man advantage.
I know you mentioned Lindholm, and he is obviously trying to work through this injury that he has, whatever it is, wrist or whatever. What are your thoughts on the idea to take the time now to get rest? You know, they said kind of maintenance, It almost kind of left the door open. Does that mean kind of like healthy scratch-ish? Like, what is that? And, you know, in terms of getting everyone set in time for the postseason with Demko and Lindholm, is there one that you're more concerned about than the other?
Yeah, my understanding is that Demko is tracking to be back in time for the playoffs. Now, barring any sort of setback, and that's possible, but there's still 10 games to go. So they do have time on their side. The Lindholm thing, I mean, it appears to be a nagging injury that he's missed a couple of practices, missed his first game the other night. So if he doesn't play, there's no healthy scratch here. There may be some maintenance involved in that. Again, I think you have to be prudent. Now, with a guy like Lindholm, there's bigger things at play here. And of course, he's an unrestricted free agent in the offseason. He's a hockey player. He wants to play. But you just wonder if at some point, and again, the Canucks, they don't disclose much when it comes to injuries. So we are left to speculate on a lot of this. It was funny because Lindholm faced the Flames the other night on Saturday for the first time since the trade. Came out after the morning skate to do media, hands in both pockets of his workout, where he wasn't giving up the goods to even let us look at his hand and his wrist to see if there was any sort of indication there. But that is what we believe is the nature of the injury at the very least. But yeah, I'm concerned. The fact that he can't practice and has had to take multiple practices off. You had the graphic up there. Look, he's been disappointing when it comes to his offensive contributions, and it probably does hand in hand, pun intended, with the injury. But he has been able to provide some value to the Canucks. I mean, he's been excellent in the faceoff circle. They didn't have a right shot center when they made the trade. So he's come in late in games, protecting leads. The penalty kill that I talked about, he's been a part of that and has been worked right in as one of the top four forwards on the penalty kill. So it's impossible to say that he hasn't contributed. But when you give up a first rounder, you give a roster player, you give up a couple of prospects, you know, you're not looking for a third line center, and that's essentially where he has settled in. And for whatever reason, they tried it early with the Elias-Elias combination, and it just didn't work. They tried Pettersson at center, they tried Lindholm at center, and there just didn't seem to be a whole lot of chemistry, and they went away from that. I guess they could come back to that at some point, but health is paramount, first and foremost. So if it takes some time here and he's got to miss some action, I would think that's the prudent play for the Vancouver Canucks.
Jeff Patterson from Rinkwide Vancouver and Canucks Army. Appreciate you hopping on, man.
Always fun. Thanks for having me.
Our daily face-off inbox question is brought to you by Tim Hortons. Roll Up the Rim to Win is back for Tim's 60th anniversary, and to celebrate their big year, you can win some big prizes like the all-electric Volkswagen ID.4, sun-soaked Hilton getaways, and cash with a daily jackpot of $10,000. Play today on the Tim's app. Frank, we had one in on the YouTube from Pashendi, who said, hey, it's an offseason related question. Doug Armstrong has four D-men with no movement clauses or no trade clauses. Does he find a way to move any of them? If so, how many?
Well, we knew he tried to move Torrey Krug last year. So it's Krug, Parayko, Leddy, and who's the other one that I'm... Scandella?
Falk.
Falk, that's right. It's going to be tough. I think there's certainly some diminishing returns on Falk. A lot of teams view the undersized defenseman differently when it comes to the playoffs and Krug. Colton Parayko had a tremendous year, and that's the thing that I look at with Pareko's season is that's the one guy I don't want to move, but he might have the most value. So how do you find a way to change up that look? That's going to be a big question, whether it's up front on the back end. It kind of feels like there have been some nice progressions this year up front, like love the season that Jake Neighbors has had. But I think they need to mix it up a little bit. And by the way, they got a great year of goaltending from Binnington.
Yeah, they did. A nice bounce back here for Jordan Binnington. Let's move along to our daily bets brought to you by Betano. The game starts now at betano.ca. All right, Frank, we're starting with a puck line bet that really explains itself. Nashville Predators in Arizona. You're giving me plus 135 on the hottest team in hockey going up against the Arizona Coyotes. I am absolutely all over this one. Love Nashville to continue their heater down at the Mullet Arena. And my shot prop parlay for today involves Teuvo Teravainen and Logan Stankoven. The Stank Oven, Frank, he's hit it in four of his last five with 13 total shots in those five games. Teravainen was on a run of seven in a row, missed in back-to-back. I like Stankoven to stay hot, Teravainen to bounce back, playing those two together at plus 148, which brings us...
I was just going to say, you mentioned the Stank Oven, which is trademark of our friend Pete Blackburn. Did you see the shirts that they were wearing yesterday? The Bobbit in honor of our friend Bob Stauffer in Edmonton. Just if you haven't seen the content, just the shirts. I need someone to send me one so I can wear it on air.
It is. It was very funny. And hey, happy birthday to our friend Bob Stauffer as well. So a great tie in there. Let's wrap up the show with Garbage Time, brought to you by Wendy's and the Daily Face-Off Survivor Pool. If you're a loser like Frank and myself in the Survivor Pool, you can be a winner with the new Cinnabon Pull Apart from Wendy's. You can get the Cinnabon Pull Apart and a small coffee for $5 all day at Wendy's and with the Wendy's app. Frank, Garbage Time today. ESPN dropping another very good inside film here. Let's take a look at the trailer for what's coming up. This one's good.
My phone rang.
The New York Rangers just offered Joe Sakic
$15 million upfront signing bonus.
This is a crisis.
Once we launched this offer sheet, they were going to have 7 days.
Charlie had a big project that was not hockey.
Everybody's watching.
Will the Avs match the Rangers' offer?
This was the entertainment world imposing itself on the sports world.
Will Joe Sakic remain in Colorado?
I have no idea.
Should be good, Frank.
Yeah, and the same group did the Alexander Daigh documentary, Chosen One, if you haven't gotten a chance to see that yet. Really well done and learned lots of new things. And I love that it's sort of from the era right before I started covering this league. So things that I wasn't around for, don't remember, different storylines and things happening that, it's, you know, for someone like me, you know, hugely entertaining. So looking forward to seeing this one.
That'll do it for this week's run of Daily Faceoff Live. We're off tomorrow for the long weekend. So to everyone in the YouTube, enjoy the long weekend. A big shout out to Jeff Patterson for joining us as well. For our producer, Gavin Turnick, Pat Puff on the graphics. Once again, enjoy the long weekend. We'll chat with you on Monday.
Thanks for tuning in to Daily Faceoff Live. Make sure you hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Confidence starts with loving who you are. And when your skin feels nourished and glows on the outside, you naturally radiate confidence from the inside. Give your skin a glow up with Osea's clinically proven Mega Moisture Duo. This ultra-hydrating body care features two of Osea's best sellers, Undaria Algae Body Oil and Undaria Collagen Body Lotion. These seaweed-powered heroes use skincare-level ingredients normally reserved for your face for results you can see and confidence you can feel. Osea has been making clean, clinically proven seaweed-infused face and body care products for over 28 years. This luxurious skincare is vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Glow from the inside out. Get 10% off your first order with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code GLOW.
All right, hockey fans, listen up because we've got something special coming your way this playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and let me tell you, it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of those questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. That sounds simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total amount of goals in the game will be over or under a certain amount, and that's where the real strategy starts to kick in. Next up, you're picking who's going to find the back of the net first, and you're going to want to be careful because that's one that could be cooked early on in the game. And finally, you got to predict which period is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That's up to you to decide. Now let's talk about prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? For the daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards to treat yourself to some fresh nation gear, and you might even win a jersey from your favorite team. And for the big dogs, those who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.